On this week's show, stepping up after the exit of Harry Hudson, we hear from new Sevenoaks Town boss Mark Dacey.
I'd like to obviously try and continue the success that Harry's had in the 20 months that he's been there as much as possible. I've got to kind of learn who I am as a manager.
Victory in the derby, but it wasn't a thriller, as you'll hear from Maidstone boss George Ellacobi after their win over Dover.
After the defeat on Saturday, we wanted a reaction and our players gave us that.
And going well in the Vars and in the league, here with Town boss Adam Woodward talks us through their season so far.
So I would be lying if we didn't say everyone wants to be at Wembley and we'd love all to get there, but we've got a long way to go yet.
Hello everyone and welcome to this week's episode of the Kent Only podcast sponsored by Sandwich Town Youth FC. In the last few hours, Cray Valley PM's fantastic FA Cup run has come to an end. We'll be reflecting on that as well as hearing from three managers, all from different divisions, and one of whom wasn't even a dugout of the weekend, he's been appointed so recently. I'm Sean Phillips, who for the first time ever demanded a service charge be removed from a restaurant bill at the weekend. And on the line now is a man who, by my reckoning, has seen this last six non-league matches in Kent at six different venues. It's, of course, Matt Gerrard. How are you, mate?
Oh, well, I've done five games in 11 days, I think it is.
Impressive. At different venues as well?
One would have been Dover, Maidstone, Sheppey, Chatham, Ramsgate. Is that right?
There you go.
There you go. And there will be another one on Saturday as well, a different one.
Where are you Saturday?
I'm high v Tunbridge Angels, if weather permitting.
Oh, perfect.
In the FA Trophy. So, yes, which is good because, as I say, I do like watching other teams because the normal team I watch are pretty terrible. So it's good to watch other teams as well. So and it's good for the pod. And hopefully I'll give a good service for the licence payer as well.
I think that's true. I think it's nice to hear that, you know, you're going to these different places and different matches. Funny enough, Hythe is probably the one ground in East Kent I've never been to. Never been to Richfield.
Yeah, it's a nice little ground. I've been for a few years, but they're always very... look after me well there, so I'm looking forward to that. The you know, very good friends. Well, we talked to there, Steve Watt and Jay Saunders, and Hythe will be looking to cause a cup shock.
Absolutely. Talking of the cups, then we might as well talk about Cray Valley. They've beaten 6-1 in the end, but had a great moment when Kyle Lisby stuck away that penalty. And you know, to take Charlton to a replay was fantastic. It's been amazing for the club. It's put them on the map. As I said a couple of weeks ago, there are probably people who've never even heard of Cray Valley Paper Mills who tonight have been invested in their performance. And, you know, full credit to all of the players and Steve McKim. And you know, just heard on the TV the chap saying, you know, how well everyone at Cray Valley had looked after them. And I went to Cray Valley back last season, a very friendly bunch of people there. And, you know, well, a brilliant run. And they've done themselves proud, haven't they?
Well, yeah, as Danny Murphy said on the commentary. So for three quarters of that match, Cray Valley were a match to Charlton, and the extra quality told Alfie May, who we know all about from being playing at this level many moons ago, was the difference. And Charlton, you know, professional, put the big boys in and they've done a job. But yeah, fantastic season. Really, you class that as Cray Valley's first senior defeat of the season, if you ignore the County Cups, which we do. So absolutely fantastic. They've lost the first game really on the 15th of November. Fantastic FA Cup run. The money they're going to make it, two live TV ties. Yeah, that's probably about 100 grand in the first instance, plus your cup money. And hopefully now they can move on. And again, sensibly, they said they're going to do the ground up so they can go to the next level. But I'm sure they'll be talking about this cup run at Cray Valley for many, many, many times in the future. And hopefully they're going to really benefit from that money. And they've got, and if they've earned 10% more followers coming to watch the games, it's all going to be worth it. And I'm delighted for Steve McKim because he's the kind of manager, I think, you know, who calls a spade a spade. And I'm sure he'll give some of his players a rollick into losing 6-1. But he's been great on the pod, very open. So I'm delighted for him. And now watch them. Hopefully they can do well in the league. Numerous league games to catch up on, so at least now, hopefully, that the Isthmian South East Division will start to take shape when they start playing games.
Absolutely, and Steve McKim is a great guy. He always strikes me as the sort of guy you wouldn't want to cross, Matt, but he's always so generous with his time with us. He was in his time at Tunbridge Angels, and he has been through this cup run, especially, you know, when he was getting pulled from pillar to post, I'm sure, after the draw came out, and he still made time to have a chat with you. And I think that's a measure of the guy. And, you know, as you say, you can't help but be really, really chuffed for him, can you?
No, I think he's he's covered himself in glory and in this work as this competition. As a couple of the players have, I think got players like Kyle Lisby. He's probably done himself a power good. Will clubs higher up the pyramid be looking at him? So yeah, I think it's been a win-win for Cray Valley and for Steve McKim. And I think we said it before, I don't think, no disrespect to Cray Valley's level, I think Steve McKim's can manage at a higher level. And I'm sure there'll be good clubs. I think he's quite a loyal man. I think he was hurt by the way he left Tunbridge. I'm not saying he's going to walk away tomorrow, but I'm sure if they have a good season, other clubs will be looking at him.
Absolutely. Apart from football, how are you, mate? Have you had a good week?
Yeah, not too bad. Again, what have I been doing? Football. It's just not a lot. It's just not a lot apart from working and going to football, really. We're not watching too much on the telly. All in all, it's not much, mate, really. I don't say I'm doing a great deal, but I haven't, really. I'm not like you, got gallivanting clearly to restaurants and popular music concerts. How was that band? I can't remember what it was called.
They were called Nothing But Thieves, and they were excellent. Really, really good. Really good show. Really enjoyed it. Good atmosphere, I think.
How many does Wembley Arena hold? Quite a few, probably.
Oh, good. I think it's about 10,000. No, 5,000.
10,000 there?
It was very busy. I mean, we got there quite late. We missed the support act. And by the time we'd used the facilities, the queue was absolutely insane and grabbed a pint. They were literally just about to come on by the time we got in there. And I think we both wish actually we'd got a bit further to nearer to the front, even though, you know, we're both in our 40s. We feel like we could have offered more down the front. But it was, yeah, they were great. The guy can really sing. So, yeah, really good. But, I mean, I did mention it, but never before have I been to a restaurant where there's been a service charge that the service has been so bad that
15%
I've asked
it
to be removed. 13.5 they wanted.
Right. Well, was it a chain or just a normal?
It's a chain, but there's not many of them. It's quite exclusive. I think the original one is well known as a bit of a celebrity haunt. It's a sort of a, I'm not going to name any names, but if you think of plants that climb up places, that might give you a good hint. But yeah, we got there.
Oh, look at you. You are. That is posh.
Yeah, sat down. And we were about 5 minutes late for our reservation, ordered our starters. They came quite quickly. And then it all kind of started to go downhill when we ordered a bottle of wine, because what they do at this place, where it is moderately exclusive, I suppose, is they'll pour you your wine and then they'll take it away and put it in a, in like a wine
cooler.
Yeah. I want to say cooler, but it wasn't like a fridge. It was just like a bucket.
An ice bucket.
That's the phrase I was looking for. Look at that. That was classy.
Hope it wasn't red
wine. Just for the listeners, normally I edit those gaps out. But this time I'm just going to leave that one in because I forgot the word ice bucket. But yeah, so they put the wine in the ice bucket. And then normally when you've got an empty glass, they pop over and they top it up for you. They just left us. When they brought the wine over, they didn't even give us a taste. They just poured us a glass each, stuck it in the ice bucket and just left us. So,
well, you're too lazy to pour the wine yourself then.
No, we're not, but it wasn't next to us. That's the thing. So it was about 4 foot away from Fee and 6 foot away from me. She had to get up and get it, put it back in the wine in the cooler. Then I had to do the same, and it was like, hang on a minute. And then we were waiting ages for our main courses, and when they came, they were okay. And then they brought us the dessert.
Is this posh food that you don't get much of?
No, it was. A decent sized portion. Mine was just very dry. And then they brought over the dessert menu. And I want you to bear in mind that our table was booked for 3:15 PM, right? Yeah. They brought over the dessert menu, and I nipped to the toilet after that happened.
Checking the football scores.
Outrageous slur, but yeah. And then I came and sat back down, and I said to Fee, if they don't take our desserts by 5:20, we're not going to bother. And in the end, it was nearly 5:30 when they came over and said, oh, do you want a dessert? And I said, no, we'll just have the bill. And then the bill came. There was a 13.5% service charge on it. And I said, can you remove that service charge, please? Which they did. And, you know, I said a couple of weeks ago about the lovely meal we had in Lowestoft, which was amazing. The service was great. The food was great. That meal was £12 cheaper than the one that we had on Saturday. And that just goes to show that it's not all about the price, it's all about the service and the experience and the quality of
well, I never go anywhere, mate, so I couldn't possibly comment so on that basis. So well, there you go.
I was just a bit miffed off. It was a bit of a kick in the shins to be to not have very good service, because the restaurant was really nice and we had quite high hopes, but it was ultimately very, very disappointing. Anyway,
were you angry? Were you, or did you say, I don't want to pay that? And they said, okay.
Yeah, no, I was unfailingly polite, actually, which in the past I may not have always been, but I said, can you just remove that? And then on the way out, I did say to the front of house staff, I said, just to, you know, let you know, we were really disappointed with the service. I didn't even mention to them that they brought me the wrong beer that I asked for, because I just thought, you know what, let's not get into it. Anyway, let's get on with the show. It's our 273rd episode this week, and 273 is a sphenic number, a truncated triangular pyramid number, and an Ida-Neil number, whatever any of those mean. 273 kelvins, though, is also apparently the equivalent in temperature to freezing. It's complicated enough when people start bringing Fahrenheit into my life, so I'm not even going to entertain this idea of kelvins, but it does mean apparently that absolute zero, which is the lowest limit of the thermodynamic temperature scale, a state at which the enthalpy and entropy of a cooled ideal gas reach their minimum value, would be minus 273 degrees Celsius. And you know what, Matt? I'm no expert, but I reckon that's cold.
Is Kelvin spelt the name as in the name Kelvin?
Yeah, I don't know.
Is that where the name comes from?
I don't know. What came first, the name or the heat measurement? Yeah, Who knows? Anyway,
I don't know anybody called Kelvin.
I think I went to school with someone called Kelvin.
It's not I've said this before, it begins with a K. I don't like names beginning with a K. I've told you before, haven't I?
You have.
Yeah, don't like names beginning with a K.
Well,
bad news. Yeah, Kelvin. And if Kelvin is a popular name, is there baby Kelvins around?
Do you know what? I don't reckon so. No, who knows? There may be a renaissance for the name Nigel.
Wasn't there an EastEnders character called Kelvin?
I don't know. There's an actor from Emmerdale, isn't there? Kelvin Fletcher.
All right. If you know, if you are listening and your name's Kelvin, please drop us a line.
Absolutely. Anyway, let's actually do some football chat. We just won FA Cup match all week, which we've already discussed about. It's been attentions elsewhere for us, and it's been a very busy week across the pyramid. We're going to start in the Ipswich League South East, where there was a surprise change in management at Sevenoaks Town. After 20 months in charge, it was announced on Sunday that Harry Hudson had resigned from the club in order to explore opportunities in professional football. The rumour mill didn't even have a chance to get going before his replacement was confirmed. And it was an inside job, so to speak, as Mark Dacey stepped up to become the boss. We had Mark on the show last year during their FA Cup run. And earlier on today, I spoke to the new Sevenoaks Town manager.
Yeah, I think it got to a stage where Harry was needing to progress in the game under different avenues, and he spent so much time over kind of the last 10 years on pushing everybody else forward that it was the right time for him to go and be a bit selfish and look after himself. So I knew that period was going to come eventually. I'm over the moon for him that he's, decided to take that leap of faith.
I suppose it's a measure of him as a man and as a coach that he probably could have gone a few weeks ago, but he wanted to make sure it was a smooth transition.
Yeah, I was away as well, which is probably why it was a little bit more delayed than what it would have been had I not been. But he's been brilliant. We lost Dan Hogan as well through other coaching ventures, and again it was progression for him. So another extremely talented and bright young coach that's come through Kinetic that's going and spreading his wings now, and so it made it easier to be able to go and get someone, and we brought in Junior James and Harry was brilliant enough stay on whilst I was away to help blend him in, and they had nothing but positive results in the back end of it until I came back, and then Harry's then unfortunately for us moved on.
I suppose for you taking over, you don't often get to take over a team that's third in the table. So that's got to be a good thing, hasn't it?
Yeah, usually when this happens, it's generally because teams are maybe underperforming. They don't often come up too much when a team's doing well. But I'll be honest, we're not really looking too much into the league table at the minute. There's a lot of teams that have got two games in hand, and then you've obviously got the big FA Cup hitters that have got 2-3. I think Cray Valley might even have 4 or 5. Up until really the next, probably to Christmas period, after the Christmas period, it will really start to take proper shape and see where everybody else is around. I mean, Ramsgate sit top now. I think they're going to be extremely difficult to knock off that. So for us now, it's a case of push as much as possible. And I think it's somewhat unrealistic to be going, let's try and win it. Of course, everybody would love to win the league, but you've got 1 in 20 chances. And I think with the firepower that some of these clubs have currently, and then the financial backing, whether that be attendances or, like I've said, with the FA Cup run, you know, those teams are going to have a pretty big advantage over us in case they want to, you know, go and enhance their squad. So for us, we'll look to sit tight in that playoff position as much as possible. But I don't think the league table will really kind of start to take shape for most teams, probably until everybody's played the same amount of games, which I think with the amount that they've got to play, plus cup games as well, you're still probably looking at about 5, 6, maybe even longer weeks before we can really see where we're at and how we can progress from that.
Yeah, I suppose you can at least take some solace from the fact you're the only team to not only beat them but take points off Ramsgate in the league so far. But, you know, as you say, they've gone top and they look to be a very good side, don't they?
Even when we played them first game of the season, we got, I think for a lot of teams, they would have looked at that and gone, they're probably not the team you want to play first game of the season. And I think, on my personal view, I was probably the same to have Ramsgate and Ashford, your first two games, it doesn't really get too much harder than that. But we happened to be very good that day and I guess somewhat catch them off guard. But I'm not surprised to see that they haven't dropped points since then. I wasn't surprised to see that they've had an incredible FA Cup run. We played them in the FA Trophy as well, which they beat us, I think it was 3-1. I'm pretty adamant it was 3-1. And you could see that they gelled a lot more. Their squad depth is phenomenal. They've got a good setup there as a whole. They've got good staff, a manager that's been promoted from this league before. And ultimately, in my opinion, got players that shouldn't be playing at this level. And by that, I mean that they still have more than enough capability to be playing higher. But, you know, they've got some great experienced ex-pros as well. So, you know, they've got a great blend of skill, speed, strength, but mainly experience. And I'll be honest, I think that's probably what will end up, getting them over the line for sure.
Going back to Seven Oaks, of course, you start against Merstham on Saturday. I guess you'll be just hoping to get the first win under your belt.
It'd be nice. It'd take a little bit of pressure off me personally, because that will, I think, naturally just sit on my head until we can get the first win of the season, under myself. But Merstham are flying. You know, Jamie's gone in there and done a great job. I think they've won 3 of the last 5, scoring goals. So, you know, they're gonna want to carry on their good form and push up the league. And for us, we'd come off the back of 2 wins and then, a little bit of a disappointing result on Saturday. So we're looking to bounce back, knowing that these games in hand for everybody else are going to come. So we need to keep ourselves in the mix, and I think it would just really settle the shit for me personally, but I think for everybody, yeah, if we can go and grab the 3 points on Saturday.
Is it going to be much of a difference under you than it was under Harry?
Time would tell on that one, to be honest. I've got to find my own identity. And with new staff now, with like I said, Junior James coming in, but obviously losing Harry and Dan Hogan, there's a lot of the brains of what we did was, you know, came through those two. So I can't really answer that question. I'd like to obviously try and continue the success that Harry's had in the 20 months that he's been there as much as possible. But I've got to kind of learn who I am as a manager. And who my staff are and how we want this team to look. So, you know, I'd like to emulate as much as possible what Harry's done. But it's got to have a Mark Daisy stamp on it, and I've just got to work out what that is for the time being.
And I suppose it's a great opportunity for you. You obviously know the club, and it's a club that's really doing good stuff on the pitch as well as off the pitch.
Yeah, it's a phrase that's quite commonly used in football, but it's a sleeping giant. I think once they can get the new clubhouse and the stand up, then, you know, I think it's going to be ready for step three football. Unfortunately, they've had a few teething issues with that, where it's not started yet. So the club's, I guess, limited to where it can be at for the time being. But we have a phenomenal chairman. An extremely supportive board, you know, spot on facilities. It's a really, really good 4G surface. They've looked after it really well in the time that they've had it there. And we've got a really good playing squad. You know, the women are really starting to do well as well. They've got a massive amount of youth teams, so the club's there to be progressed. It's just a little bit halted at the minute, you know, it was a real honour and privilege for the chairman to not completely change suit once Harry left. I think there have been quite a few clubs that would have gone down that route. So for me personally, it was a massive confidence boost for the chairman to say that we want this ship to be steered the way it has been. And can he take over?
It sounds, Matt, that it had been in the pipeline for a while. And before we talk about Mark, let's pay tribute to Harry Hudson. A fantastic job he did there. He turned from relegation battlers to playoff chasers. A best ever FA Cup run to boot. He just did great, didn't he?
Brilliant. He turned them around, didn't he, really? Amazingly, when I think he went in probably about February, March time, was it? They looked, you know, in a bit of trouble, but they went on a fantastic run. Clearly, I think he was a rated manager before. Was it Whiteleaf? Was he something like that before? Something like that, was it?
He was at Whiteleaf, and then they obviously went bust, and then he went to Glebe.
So we picked him up. Clearly, he's, you know, you read the Sevenoaks Twitter feed or website, they're gushing about how gutted he is and what he's done to the club. So, did a really good job, left him in a healthy position. I think you told me he's gone to work in an academy at a football league, a decent football league club. So fair play to him. It's an opportunity for him. But I think he did a really good job at Sevenoaks. And Sevenoaks, another club who, after that interview, that will, again, clearly going in the right direction. His assistant's got the chance. And now good luck to Mark with that role. But and again, interesting point there. You know, I quite liked it. Certain managers going quite bullish, didn't they? He wasn't bullish. He's clearly going to think about what he's doing. He's not going to change how things work. How is he going to manage? So I think it's a wise appointment for 7-8. Clearly, they've known for a while that Harry was on his way. And I quite like that they've kept that continuity, because there's plenty of easier ways of bringing other managers in and stopping that work that's been over the last 20 months or so. And Mark will continue that. And good luck to him. And, you know, clearly he's up for the challenge, but yeah, a good thinker as well. If he's probably learned that from Harry.
It was interesting when he said, you know, it was good of Harry to sort of stay on and make sure that I cover my p- period away and everything that they brought in Junior James as well, who was at Welling Town, I believe, last season, and already bringing in some new players as well. And you know, I thought he was very honest when I said to him, you know, is it going to be similar to Harry? And he was like, well, no, I've got to find out how I am as a manager. Mm. But ultimately, as I also said to him in there, you don't often get to take over a team that's third in the table and going well without a mass exodus in everything that's going on. So it's a really good opportunity for him. By the sounds of what he's saying, I don't think there's massive pressure to go and win the league this season. Mm-hmm. And I think he's got a couple of months now to really bed in. The fixtures are going to come thick and fast for Mark and Sevenoaks. But I think actually that's probably a good thing because they've got a little bit of momentum. And I did read an interview with Harry a couple of weeks ago when they went up to third in the table. And he said, we've not actually done that well so far this season. So, you know, if they can carry on the good work that he's done there, and I'm sure Harry also knows with his kinetic school as well, that a good place for his players to be would be Sevenoaks. So hopefully that link will continue. And, you know, as he says there, bit of a sleeping giant, Sevenoaks. They're a really well-run club. They've made great strides in the last 10 years, and there's no reason why they can't push on.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a good area, I think, where you can attract supporters. Again, community massive for the club. Another 3G surface, which seems to be the way to go for community football clubs. I don't think there's going to be a... I think it's a wise decision. You get a new manager in, players leave. Clearly, they've got a way of playing. The new manager, maybe he's not going to tinker with it, but I think just the continuity is probably key. Of course, they had Mickey Collins for a number of years. When Harry came in, he did bring a few players in and players left, but now maybe they've got the continuity now and they'll keep it with Mark. As he said, it's probably going to be tough for them to win the league, or he'll be surprised at it. He thinks Ramsgate are going to go ahead and clearly walk this league, but there's a lot of places to go for the playoffs, and I'm sure that they could just be looking for a playoff spot in a league, which I think is going to be quite competitive. But as he said before, you know, soon it will start settling down, particularly when you see that certain sides have only played less than 10 league games. It's going to be a while before this league definitely settles down.
Absolutely. And that is the challenge, I suppose, for there's probably going to be a few boards around the county and the whole southeast. We're going to see teams probably fall down the league table just because the teams below them are making up games. And I suppose it is an opportunity for Sevenoaks on Saturday. They play Merston, although Mark did say they're in quite good form. But I think, you know, they'll be looking at that game thinking we should be getting 3 points there. And it would be the perfect start for Mark Dacey, wouldn't it?
Well, yeah, I think they've got enough quality in the squad with the players they've got. And what Harry's brought and the way they play, I'm led to believe it's quite a nice style. They should have enough to do that again. They lost at the weekend, unfortunately, to Sheppey, but I think they've got enough to do it. They're always going to be in and around it. Did they get they missed out on the playoffs, or did they get in the playoffs last year?
They missed out, didn't they?
On the last day, yeah. But they've got the basis of a good squad, and clearly the players are happy there from what they were saying about Harry. So I'm sure they'll try and do it for Harry to see if they can stay in those playoff positions. So I think they've got a good chance, but in a competitive league. But again, as he said, it's going to take a while for it to settle down.
Yeah, no, I think Sevenoaks have kind of made a name for themselves over the past few years of a club where you can go and thrive, but they won't stand in your way. And you know, I would hope that would be the way it can carry on, because when you are a club like Sevenoaks, that's the way to do it, isn't it? Bring in players and just get the best players that you can and accept that some of them are going to have to move on.
Yeah, again, they've got some experienced players there as well who have been at a higher level. Maybe they're working with the youngsters, can only improve them as well. So, yeah, again, a well-run club. And again, clearly, you know, they're delighted that Harry's got on to a bigger and better job, because they could have been quite disappointed about it. But the excellent, you know, from the social media, wishing him well was great to see.
Absolutely. As we said there, Ramsgate have gone top of the table after they beat Sheppey in what was the only game to survive on Tuesday night, as the rain keeps on coming. A 1-0 win there for them, despite Joe Taylor missing a penalty and what all reports have said was an outstanding performance from guess who in the Sheppey United goal, Matt. The Rams also won 1-0 on Saturday at home to Beckenham when Cray Valley PM beat Erith and Belvedere 3-0. Herne Bay and Three Bridges do 3-3. Hythe won 4-0 at Horndean. Phoenix Sports was 3-0 at Merstham. Sheppey, as we've just mentioned, won 1-0 at Seven Oaks. And it was also a 1-0 win for Sittingbourne in their home game with Ashford. There's just a handful of league games for our teams this weekend, with some in the FA Trophy on Saturday, which we will discuss shortly. But in the league, it's Ashford against Sheppey, Herne Bay against Littlehampton, Ramsgate against Phoenix Sports, Seven Oaks against Merstham, Sittingbourne against Three Bridges. On Sunday, Erith and Belvedere at home to Chichester. And then on Tuesday night, Sittingbourne head to face Chichester, Cray Valley at home to Merstham. It's Horndean against Ashford, Sheppey go to Three Bridges. And then on Wednesday night, Ramsgate meet Hyde. And I'm sure there won't be much love lost between those two after their recent FA Trophy escapade, shall we say. Let's move on up to the Isthmian League Premier Division. Another managerial departure, a 1-1 draw at home to Haringey Borough, proved to be the final game in charge for Folkestone Victor's joint bosses, Roland Edge and Michael Everett, who depart with the club just 4 points outside the playoff places. Neil Cuddy, it was always going to be a tough act to follow, Matt. I thought they did okay last season, but it does feel, even though they are only 4 points outside the playoffs, it just hasn't clicked for Folkestone Victor this season.
Oh, I saw them against Margate, didn't I? And I thought they were the better side in the FA Cup game, in the first game, but then I was quite shocked they lost before. We did hear an inkling recently that they could be under pressure. Folkestone have got a new board, doing a lot off the field, trying to improve the ground. Folkestone get good crowds, and maybe, right, feel that they should be doing better in the league. So I think I feel a little bit for them. Roland Edge particularly has been there a long time, hasn't he? Particularly with Neil Cuddy. But football's a cutthroat business. And the joint managers, does it work? Probably not. And it will be interesting to see who gets the Folkestone Invicta job now with the new board.
It's an attractive proposition, isn't it? As you say, there's a new board in there. You know, people like Tommy Warrilow are going to be heavily linked with it, aren't they? And I'm sure he'd be very interested in that. There's other names floating around as well. And you know, being one of a handful of Isthmian Premier clubs in the county, it is the sort of place that people will gravitate towards. And I'm sure there'll be a lot of interested parties in it.
Yeah, do they go with the younger manager? So I think Andy Drury's still there as a player. We know what he did at Margate. Didn't work out well. Would he want to go back into management? Will they go for somebody experienced? The owners seem to have a bit of backing. Would they want a bit of a name in there? It'd be interesting to see. So they're only 4 points off the playoffs. They've got a good squad. Just hasn't really worked for them. They've played a lot more games than anybody else. So new manager. I presume at the start of the season, they want the playoffs. Again, another competitive league with a side with a lot of money in there. Be interesting to see who the folks to join. We're led to believe that the son-in-law, the chairman, is the son-in-law of Andy Hessenthaler. And I know he has been linked, but I don't know if he would be looking to go there, because he's got a good job at Gillingham at the moment. But interesting position, that one, John. I'll be interested to see who takes that job, because I think if you get it right and you're going to be backed by the owners, it could be a good prospect for somebody.
Well, I mean, there's always the opportunity that they could leapfrog their neighbours, isn't there, Matt?
Gone.
Okay, no worries. Just thought I'd mention it. Invicta had beaten Billericay 1-0 on Saturday as part of a hat-trick of 1-0 wins for our side, with Chatham also beating Whitehawk and Cray Wanderers overcoming Carshalton, while Margate drew 2-2 at Dulwich. This weekend, Invicta go to Dulwich on Saturday. Margate are at Wingate and Finchley. And then on Tuesday, Wingate come to Kent to play Chatham, and Gate go to play Horsham. Let's go on up to the National League South End. A bit of a mixed bag for some of our teams this week. On Saturday, wins for Tunbridge Angels, who came back from 2-0 down to beat St Albans. Welling, who won a 7-goal thrill at home to Slough. But Maidstone lost 5-2 at Hampton Richmond Borough. And Dover went down 2-0 at runaway leaders Yeovil. Dartford's trip to Truro was off, but they did get a win on Tuesday night as they won 4-3 at Worthing. Angels continued their good form with a 3-0 at Eastbourne Borough. But Welling lost 4-1 at Braintree after going 3-0 down pretty early on. That just leaves with Maidstone and Dover, who met at the Gallagher in front of my good friend and my co-host, Matt Gerrard, who after the game spoke to the victorious boss. That is, of course, Maidstone's George Elokobi.
Derby sometimes are never a classic. If you want a classic, go and watch Premier League. This is the National League South, and, you know, after the defeat on Saturday, we wanted a reaction, and our players gave us that. And, you know, it was good to start building the foundation again with a clean sheet.
How was it
that was the most important thing after Saturday. You've been on a great run. People didn't see that coming. The bounce back, was that the most important thing today?
Yeah, the most important thing was, yes, we wanted to go out and win in style. But again, we're up against a team that's well organised, that needs points as well in Dover. And you got to respect that. And, you know, our boys went out there. At times, it went pretty. But we got the job done today. And that's the most important thing.
Levi Manchi again, right place at the right time, isn't it? 16 goals this season. Ball fell to him, but he's got to be in the position.
Well, you know, we got our forward players, and when we work at this training ground as a management team, we tell them where to be. Especially when we are out wide trying to cross the ball in the right areas on the prime target area. It's important that they pick up spaces where they can be marked. And if a shot goes in and the keeper parries it out, can you be in a position where you can land on it and you can put it in the back of the net? And he has that.
He's got that natural instinct as well, hasn't he?
He's got that natural instinct where he just knows where. But also it comes with the sessions that we work with him at the training ground here. Craig Fagan, especially being a striker, he's been working with our forward players, and it's important that they take that into the game, and Levi is one of them.
All in all, you know, where you are in the league, good position. You've still got a lot of games to play at home. It's only your seventh home game of the season, so you're in a very good position. You must be delighted. Second round of the FA Cup, middle of November, where you are in the league. Is it where you wanted to be?
As a football club, we're happy. I said this from pre-season. We want to be competitive, and at the moment, we are. We are being competitive. There's more to come from our group. We understand that we're a new group. We're still gelling. There's lots of additions we've made to the players that were here last season. So it's important. Sometimes it takes time for that to happen, for players to settle in and understand how we want to play. But again, it's good to see us picking up maximum points in games. Yes, the odd losses here and there, like we had on Saturday, which for me was a lesson to our group. It was an eye-opener, a wake-up call to us. We needed to do the basics, and we needed to defend our box properly. And we've done that today. We've done it excellently, making sure we don't give anyone free headers in our box. And, you know, we come away with a clean sheet.
Are you enjoying it as well? You always have a smile on your face, win or lose. But how did you feel after Saturday?
I felt disappointed. Obviously, you don't want to lose in that margin. But again, I was proud of our players. They gave it their all. In the end, we played down to 10 men, and they gave us everything. They gave me everything on the day. And for that, I was pleased. Yes, the result, you can't win every single football match you go into. Some days, you get days like that in football, and you got to take it, and you got to respect the opposition, which I thought we did. We shook their hands and told them, well done for the performance. Hopefully we'll remember that when they come here to play us. But again, it was about being positive. We took all the positives out of the game. We scored 2 goals away from home. You know, as much as we've been beating 5-2, we got to look at how we created those chances, scoring the 2 goals, which I thought were excellent goals. Yes, winning the pen as well, and Devante scoring, and Wanja Smith's goal. The lead-up play to that goal was excellent from Sam Bone up to Sam Korn, putting the ball into the chest of Matt Rush. But to have that vision, to be able to obviously pick Sol out, and then Sol is taking the first touch, was perfect, was excellent, and the execution was brilliant. So it's important that we look at all those positives, and we needed to take those positives into today's game.
Positive is a bit of a feel-good factor back at the ground as well, isn't it?
There's always a feel-good factor back at you know, this season. There's always been our supporters. They are some of the best supporters in this country, and they've always stuck with us. We had a tough time last season, but again, this season, everyone was optimistic, and it's good. We're rewarding them with 3 points here and there. We went on a good run, and that run came to an end on Saturday. Hopefully, we can build from this and look at you know, taking this run into more league games now.
You haven't got a league game on Saturday. It's FA Trophy, another local derby against Dartford. There's always tough affairs against that when Dartford and Maidstone meet. FA Trophy did well last season, getting to the quarter final. How important is that competition for you?
Yeah, every game is important to us. We approach every game, show the utmost respect to our position, and Dartford is going to be no different. We approach their good side, and we know that, and we have to go there, and we have to give a good account of ourselves. And after the game, we'll see where that takes us. That's the most important thing.
It's going to be an exciting month or so, isn't it, with Barrow coming as well? So, good time to be Maidstone United manager.
No, that's a long way to go. That's a long... Barrow is going to come here. When they come here, we'll look at that. At the moment, our focus is on our players recovering in preparation for the next game. The Barrow game is going to take care of itself as it draws near. But it's important that, you know, we look at one game at a time. I'm not looking at Barrow.
He's keeping his feet pretty firmly on the ground, I'd say, Matt. But he's got to be happy with how things are going.
Yeah, he's very well trained, George Elokobi. You try and get something out of him. Saying you're doing really well, George, but he's very focused. Right, it's a team game. I'm not going to praise every player. We're working as a team. We're going in the right direction.
That's a Premier League media training. That's what it
well,
is.
Well, right? Yeah, I did think that. Yeah, you can't get much out of him, but he's a nice guy. Clearly respected by the players, respected by the owner. When I saw when they were talking to him as well. Firstly, I have to say the Maidstone Dover game. Was an appalling game, absolutely dreadful. Both teams, as I haven't seen Maidstone dismantle Worthing earlier in the season with slick attacking football, I feared for Dover, but really, defences were on top for the majority of the game. Maidstone had a difference because they've got a decent striker, Dover haven't. And Amanchi, who probably could have had a hat-trick, missed a couple of gilt-edged chances at the end as Dover pushed forward. But yeah, it the quality wise, and some people have said this, maybe I'm too close to it, the standard of National South this year is not particularly great. I was at the Welling game on Saturday. Entertainment wise, that was 10 out of 10 compared to the 0 out of 10 it was on Tuesday. But maybe you look at it then, you did think that maybe the quality was lacking there because there was every time everybody attacked that looked likely to score. So, but yeah, going back to Maidstone, they're in a good position, healthy in the playoffs. Clearly, looks like Yeovil are going to go and win the league. Games in hand for Maidstone, a lot of games to play at home. They're in a good position. And I'm sure if you offered it to Maidstone fans at the start of the season, that they'll be in the second round of the FA Cup, nicely in a playoff position, winning football matches. They'll be absolutely delighted with that. And I think a credit's got to go to Elokobi because, you know, people in the know or people we spoke to didn't think if they started badly, he'd lose his job. But he's clearly turned it around and they're going in the right direction.
Going in the opposite direction. I know you just keep saying move on, but we should really talk about Dover Athletic, Matt. That win in the second game of the season seems a long time ago, doesn't it?
Right. So Dover have not had a clean sheet for 25 games, league record, club record. They have not won at home in 15 games, club record. They're now 15 games without a league win, which isn't a club record, but it's going in the right direction. Mitch Brundle, I've got a lot of time with Mitch Brundle. Clearly, he's bringing in a striker. He's got a striker he's been after for a while. The club will probably announce it in the next couple of days. There's a lot of pressure on it because he's only another young lad on loan from a football league club, but has played at this level before. They're not too far off. They need a striker, to be honest, because the strikers they've got just aren't good enough. And Maidstone held them at bay. So, if I was a betting man, John, I would expect Dover to be in the same league as Folkestone next season. And I'm not expecting Folkestone to get promoted.
I was just looking at the league, the fixtures in front of me. I was like, oh, they've got three home games coming up. But then I just remembered the stat that you told me about they're not winning at home. It's tough, isn't it? Because, you know, we all know the restraints that Dover are under. We know that they've brought in a young and inexperienced but passionate manager. And I hate to say it, but I look at the squad and the players aren't National League South quality, a lot of them. And that's no slight on them.
No, that's just
the situation that the club's found itself in over what's gone on over the past few years, you know. And people will say till the cows come home about the COVID seasons. But at the time, Jim Palmer did what he thought was right for Dover Athletic. The way that National League then fined them, deducted loads of points from them, basically relegated them there and then. And the club has just been on a downward spiral ever since then. And you know, all that man was trying to do was the best thing for his football club in unprecedented circumstances. And unfortunately, the football club is now losing out. And you know, we've seen this before with Dover. When you drop down even two divisions further than where you are now, you can come back from it. It's just a matter of having the chance to reset. But the problem is going to be, if you get relegated again, the expectation is that Dover win the league. And then you're going to come up next season, if we're being honest here, Matt, next season you're going to, if you are in the East Midlands Premier Division, which obviously I hope you're not, but you're probably going to come up against a Ramsgate side who've got loads of ambition and have got a good squad. You're going to come up against probably a Folkestone side who'll be pushing in the right direction. A Cray Wanderers side who'll be moving to their new stadium. And that's just the teams in our patch, you know. So it's, you just look for Dover and you just think, you know, people like you need a break. And hopefully, you know, this striker will come in and
no help. Pressure on him.
No, no pressure at all. But come on, son, you've got to sort it out. But hopefully, you know, you can, there can just be something, a spark, you know. If you were to, you know, obviously you've got the FA Trophy on Saturday against Weymouth, and then you've got Eastbourne, who are in awful form on Tuesday night. If you were to win those two games, the feel-good factor would be back. And then the games come thick and fast. You know, you've got Havant or Louisville in a couple of weeks' time. I mean, if ever there was a game that's probably not worth seeing at that level of football, that may be it. But, you know, there's opportunities there to just get something going, get a run of fixtures together and then maybe try and work through this. Because all you can do is do your best. And you know, if your best isn't good enough, then so be it. And I think the players and Mitch Brundle are doing their best at the moment. They just need that bit of quality, no?
Yeah. And even though, Chet, when I... the interview I did with Jim Palmer went out on the club's website, if you're interested in that. And I said to him, the club's got a losing mentality. He said it hasn't. They have got a losing mentality. And I don't know how you stop that at the moment. So we'll see how it goes. Again, a couple of wins. You look at Tunbridge. Tunbridge have won three on the spin, I think they have. And now they're about 3 points off the playoffs. So it can be done, but Dover haven't done it. Back-to-back wins in about 3 years. So it's going to be a tough ask, but it is what it is. Going back, John, I was at the Welling Slough game on Saturday. Brilliant game. Absolutely brilliant. End-to-end. I thought Slough were a good side, to be fair. I've never seen Welling went in front, 2-0 up, played quite well. Then Slough came into it, absolutely dominated it for about half an hour. Then Welling went 3-2, Slough 3-0, and then Welling scored in the last minute to win the game. Delighted for Danny Bloor as well. He's a character, a really good guy. Came and tonked in the week against Braintree. But they showed some quality, brought Josh Chambers in from Gillingham, which is a good signing. Again, a little bit inconsistent, but as games go, I probably haven't seen a better game all season than Welling and Slough. Was the quality there? Probably not, but entertainment-wise and attacking football and blood and thunder in it. Absolutely fantastic game of football. So I did enjoy that on Saturday again. And it was the totally opposite, as I said, the Dover Maidstone game, which was absolutely appalling.
So you talk about losing mentality there, Matt. I've just done a quick tot up. 66 league defeats in two and a bit seasons. That is a losing mentality if ever I've seen one, isn't it?
Yeah, I think I worked it out. Since COVID, there's been 131 games, something like that. And Dover have only won 20 of them. So, wow. And it is 4 years coming up since I saw Dover win away. So, as well, and I must have been to maybe 20, 25 games. So, seeing them win away. But, yeah, again, it is what it is. And if people like me who, you know, loyal to me think it is what it is, the floating supporters is going to be turned away until they get rid of that losing mentality. And I don't know how you get rid of a losing mentality, which is a concern.
Yes, the FA Trophy for our National League South teams and some others this weekend. As we've just heard, Dover at home to Weymouth. The big game is Maidstone against Dartford. Cray Valley PM continue their cup odyssey. They're at home to Hampton and Richmond. Welling at home to Taunton. And Cray Wanderers head out to Western Supermare. But I suppose arguably the tie of the round, Matt, if you take away Maidstone against Dover, is Hightown against Tunbridge Angels. The game you're hopefully going to be at, weather permitting, Steve Watt against Jay Saunders. That's the stuff dreams made of, isn't it?
Oh, there'll be cuddles on the touchline before and beers afterwards as well. So, yeah, Hive. Again, a lot of ex-Tunbridge players playing for Hive. Should be a good game. Tunbridge, as I say, turned the form around recently. Three away wins, good away from home. Well, I think Hythe will be desperate to cause a shock. So it should be a good game. I'm looking forward to this. We expect Tunbridge to win, but I think Steve Watt would absolutely love one, get one over on Jay Saunders. And I suppose Steve Watt, we've mentioned him, another one, you know, somebody again, folks, that may be interested with what the excellent job he's done at Hythe.
Yeah, absolutely. It'd be interesting to know if those two managers think any differently of the game when they're up against someone that they clearly have got a lot of respect for and are clearly good friends with. And, you know, players like Franny Collin as well involved for Hythe that have a lot of time for Jay Saunders as well. So, you know, it is a lovely little tie. But, you know, Hythe Town will be looking at that as a little bit of a free hit. And I suppose, Steve, what are we wanting to show Jay Saunders, you know, that he taught him well?
Yeah, exactly. And apparently another stat somebody said, well, Matt Davidson sent me, that Jay Saunders hasn't won a cup tie since he's been manager of Tunbridge Angels. So he'll be trying to alleviate that. And again, Tunbridge will be desperate. But again, I would have thought somebody from the National League South will be thinking they've got a chance in this tournament, especially if the leagues above aren't taking it seriously. No reason why Hythe or Tunbridge Angels can't go, or particularly Tunbridge Angels, taking this competition seriously. So, should be a good game, I think, there. And, I'm sure I'll ask Steve what about the Folkestone job, because I'm sure he could be linked to that. Do you think he could be linked? I'm not trying to Hythe to get rid of the manager, but it's a kind of manager I think Folkestone might look at.
I love the fact you're one of the two, I don't think this is cocky to say this, leading podcasters on Kent Non-League Football. And you've just said people might be linking Steve Watt. If you link Steve Watt to the job, mate, he's being linked. That's how podcasts work. That's how journalism works, mate. You're the one doing the linking.
Yeah. I'm linking Steve Watt. Well, I don't know where folks might have already somebody lined up, but if I was in the game, he's the kind of who's got good contacts in this part of the thing. Without the area, he could be a good appointment for Folkestone.
Okay, let's see what happens. We've had some great fun and games here because my computer just froze halfway through that last link. And the script for this week's podcast was on that and not saved. So that's been great fun. But I do know that next we're going to head to the FA Vars, where three Skeffel teams have made it through and a fourth is hoping to join them. Going through with Deal Town, who were 4-1 winners at New Haven, and Holmesdale, who were 3-1 winners at home to Haywards Heath. And our next guest, Erith Town, who were 2-0 home winners over Peacehaven and Telscombe. That was the first topic of conversation when I caught up with their boss, Adam Woodward, earlier on today.
Yeah, do you know what? It was a tough game. They're a very, very good side. They was physical. They was quite direct. And to be honest, we had to dig in at times, which we did. It was good to win 2-0, keep a clean sheet. And must say, credit to the back four. They've done an absolutely superb and probably... We took our chances when we needed to.
And then the draw comes out on Mondays. Not far to go, but it's not a great place to go, is it, Newham?
No, it's not. I played there, I think it was last year or the year before, in the London Cup. We're used to running tracks, obviously, coming from the stadium. So we just go there, we prepare right, we do everything we normally do, and we just got to make sure that on the day we perform, and if we perform like we have done in the last couple of rounds of the Vars, I'm sure that'll be enough to get us through.
I think the pitch is part of the problem there. Does that mean you'll have to adjust the way that you play?
No. To be honest, I know there was issues with the pitch last year. I think Punjab had issues with them last year in either the FA Cup or the FA Vars. We're assess the pitch when we go to watch them and try and work it out as best we can. And we may have to adapt a little bit, but I can't see us adapting too much. We'll go there and we'll play the way we play, and obviously, like I said, hopefully that will be enough.
Generally speaking, you're having a good season so far, aren't you?
Yeah, listen, we've done all right. I think we've won 8 of the last 9 games, so it was disappointing, obviously, to lose against Deal Town. We faced some tough teams, and like I said, I think we've had a few injuries as well. So we've not had our goalkeeper for the last month or so. He's been out injured, so Jordan Olds has come in to replace him and done incredibly well. There's been a few mix-up in midfield, and we've had a hell of a lot of games as well. But no, we're on a nice little run at the moment, and we just got to keep on performing.
I suppose it's an interesting one, because obviously you've moved stadiums, but you don't seem to have had any sort of hangover effect from that.
No, it's quite a nice place down at Thamesmead, so we've adapted quite well. We've not really changed the side too much. We've added a couple to it, so And then boys have come in, like James Dyer, and have done well. Jake Lovell's obviously recently signed, Jack Holland as well. So the boys that have come in have adapted to the way we play, and the team spirit's really good at the moment.
You mentioned James there. He seems to be doing really well at the moment. I keep seeing his name cropping up all the time on social media.
Yeah, James is doing really, really well at the moment. Obviously, he's had a few, two or three years since he left Phoenix, where he's been in a bit of a wilderness, and I don't think people have got the best out of him. And he's come in for us. His attitude, I must say, is spot on. It's absolutely incredible. His attitude is he's a real, real old-school professional. He trains really hard. He listens. He takes stuff on board. And, yeah, he's performing. He's getting the credit he deserves at the moment. So he's just got to keep that up, and hopefully he's a massive player for us, James. So we've just got to keep him performing and keep him on top.
You say you're in a good run of form. You've got a couple of tough games this week, starting at Faversham on Saturday.
Yeah, we've got a tough week. Faversham and Punjab Saturday, Tuesday. That's a quick turnaround as well against two very, very good sides, both away from home. So we've got to obviously try and use the team as much as we can and use the squad. It's going to be an incredibly tough week. So we've just got to make sure, again, we perform and set ourselves out right from Thursday at training. Unfortunately, Tuesday night's game was off against Fisher, which would have been a tough game as well. We've just got to prepare right for Saturday. And then once we've prepared for Saturday and that's out of the way, we'll look for Tuesday as well.
Is there a different mindset when you go to take on Faversham? Because everyone knows about the budget. Everyone knows about the experienced players that they've got. Or do you just take it like any other game?
Do you know what? I love it. I think it's great. You want to test yourself as a manager, and the players should do it. They want to test themselves against the likes of Stephen Payne, the likes of Billy Bingham, and various others that they have in their side. It's exciting. I think it's exciting for the league. These players are in the league. I know some people are not, that they talk about the budget at the end of the day, but it's 11 men against 11. So we've just got to go adapt as best we can. We know we've got a game plan that we'd like to install in them. And obviously, we've just got to make sure we can try and stop them. Like you said, they've got some great quality in the right areas, but we've got to, like I said, adapt, work on our game plan, go down there and hopefully give Sammy a run for his money.
Generally speaking, Irithtown have been really good the last few years, bringing young players through, and I know you've got a lot of very young men who've played a lot of games of football now. Is that still a massive part of what you're trying to do at the club?
Yeah, it is. I think Tom Ash has played over 100 games now. He's only 18, 19 years of age. Rowan Slater came in, he made his debut at Whitsfield White at the start of the season. He was 16. Tommy Waters is another one coming through as well. So there's a few coming through already from the 23s. We've got a couple more we'll look to introduce in the next month or so. But no, yeah, we're still looking to use young players the best we can and try and progress them in their non-league career.
And just generally speaking, the rest of the season, you know, the FA Vars, I think it's the last 64 now. Do you start to dream or do you just keep taking it one round at a time?
You take one round at a time. We can't look past Athletic Newham yet. We've got to make sure we get past them first before we can look at the last 32. But no, listen, I would be lying if we didn't say everyone wants to be at Wembley. We'd love all to get there, but we've got a long way to go yet.
And obviously the league as well, the playoff places, have opened it wide up for everyone. And I would imagine with where you've been the last few years, you'll be disappointed if you're not knocking on the door of that top five.
Yeah, I've said this in an interview previously. People ask me, what's your aim for the season? If you're a manager and you say you go into it and you don't, say you want to win the league, then I don't class you as a winner. We want to finish as high as we can if that means we win the league or if that means we finish the playoffs, we're not here to just take part. We want to try and get into the promotion into the Bostic League. That's our aim, and it hasn't changed since the start of the season.
Year after year, Matt, that man does a very solid job at Irithtown. I'd say that he doesn't get a lot of plaudits, but he just seems to keep on getting better and better and better. And that's a great result for them in the Vars at the weekend. They said they were a tough game. I don't think it's the worst tie in the world in the next round. And I just think that there's an opportunity there for Irithtown to actually make a real name for themselves. And Adam Wood is doing a great job there.
Yeah, I think Erith have always been a sort of side in and around it, haven't they, in the scaffold? I don't know what their record like in the Vars, but clearly, they've got to the last 64, as you've mentioned, and not beginning to dream yet, but with a decent draw they've got in the next round, doing okay.
I'm pretty sure
they
got similar level last year, actually. They got 64-32 last year. I think they went out west somewhere and played right. Last season. Because we had a few teams, they all went out that way, didn't they? But, you know, they've just solid progress year on year.
Yeah, and again, like everybody we say in this, when we speak to these managers, with the league opening up a little bit, with the extra playoff spots, they've got a chance to think, right, let's go for it. You know, we might not win the league, but let's go for the playoff positions and where we can go and maybe have a little bit of a run in the finals. Good, solid outfit. So they've moved to Thamesmead now. So a little bit different area of where they play in from what they've used to. But it always attracts players, good, decent players at that level. So, yeah, a good result in the Vars. So far, so good in the league. I think they'll be, you know, desperate to get promoted again or get promoted into the next level. But, again, just bringing on players, enjoying the football, learning more and more experience under Adam. They're going in the right direction.
And the things he says about the young players there, I think, what did he say? That lad's played 100 games, he's 19. You know, it's absolutely phenomenal. And, you know, he can just rattle off those young lads that he's given a chance to. And that's fantastic because that's, again, every club has got different ways they want to run and ways they want to operate. Irvtown decided to go down this way of having good youngsters coming through. You know, that they had great success in the FA Youth Cup as well. Great moments in that. And yet they keep bringing these players through into the first team. And it's very similar to what I said the other week at Lordswood. You know, once you get these players getting experience, you feel the benefit of it. And the thing for Ith Town is, I'd imagine that lad in his 100 league games, Matt, has probably won more than you've seen Dover win in the last 100.
Well, I have to admire the club as well, because, of course, they could be getting people off the circuit, round the houses every year, bringing players in, and that stops the conveyor belt of the youngsters. But you're giving him a game. You know, clearly he's going to be a better player than he was with game 10 and now he's played game 100. But he's building a career up in the non-league game. He could go up to a couple of levels above, even higher. But that experience of playing men's football, 100 games at 19, absolutely fantastic. And you've got to admire the club pushing that way. Right, we're going down this route. And eventually you will get the benefits of that if you can keep the players together, if they haven't gone up to a higher level. So, yeah, absolutely fantastic. And I'm hoping that, we know there's a lot of good academies around in Kent, that clubs are going to continue to do this, because the standard can only go up in Kent football if you're bringing these youngsters through.
Absolutely. Sticking with the FA Vars, Sodden Town are also in the hat after their game at Farnham was abandoned due to an injured linesman. But it was the end of the road on Saturday for Glebe, who were beaten in an epic penalty shootout 11-10 after a 2-2 draw at Burnham. Punjab United lost 2-1 at Roffey. And Tunbridge Wells went down 1-0 at Lingfield on Sunday. And it's almost all away days in the next round. We've already heard that Irith will make the relatively short hop over the Thames to face AFC Newham Athletic. Deal will follow Tunbridge Wells and head to Lingfield. Holmesdale will head to face Eastbourne United. And if they win their rearranged game on Saturday, Snodden will host Glebe Conquerors Burnham. Those ties we played on December the 2nd. So we are getting to the latter stages now of this, aren't we? And, you know, I think once you get past Christmas, if you're still in the FA Vars, then you have to start dreaming, don't you?
Yeah, good result for Deal. Pleased for that. We'll have to get Kingy on before the next round. I'm sure they've played Lingfield before against these teams. Lingfield seem to play a lot of our teams in the Vars. But it was a good result for Deal in that. I'm pleased. Again, we know how much they love that competition. So I don't know how good Lingfield are, but unfortunately they did knock one of our sides out, but Tunbridge Wells out. And I'm going for Punjab. I really wanted Punjab to go far. So I'm disappointed for them. But again, as I say, team's going to concentrate now, right? Concentrate on the league, because the title may have gone, but the positions maybe 3 to 5 are definitely available for a number of clubs.
Yeah, absolutely. In the league, most of the games survived on Saturday, where Bicester beat Hollands and Blair 1-0. It ended 2-2 between Kennington and VCD, and at Sutton Athletic against Lordswood. Whitstable won 3-0 at Rostall, and Stephen Payne got both goals as Faversham won 2-0 at Wellington. On Tuesday night, Glebe hit back late on to beat Corinthian 2-1. Holmesdale and Sutton Athletic drew 1-1. James Jeffrey got a hat-trick as Lordswood beat Kennington 4-0. Whitstable and Lidtown shared the spoils as their game ended 1-1, which was also the scoreline in the big game on Wednesday night between Snodland and Faversham Town, with Sam Hassler sent off late in the piece in that one. On Saturday this weekend, it's Corinthian against Lordswood, Deal against Holmesdale, Faversham against Irith Town, as we just heard from Adam Woodward, Fisher against Whitstable Town, Glebe against Lid, It's Hollands and Blair against Rostal. Sutton Athletic take on Beersted. VCD Athletic host Stansfeld. And it's Wellington against Kennington. And then on Tuesday night, Beersted take on Deal. It's Glebe against Tunbridge Wells. Holmesdale meets Stansfeld. Kennington against Snodland. Lordswood against Faversham. Punjab United host Erith Town. Rostal against Welling. Whitstable against Hollands and Blair. And then on Wednesday night, Sutton Athletic against Corinthian. And going back to Erith Town and Adam Woodward, it was interesting when he was saying about those games coming up. You know, it's a great opportunity when you're playing a team like Faversham, because, you know, it's a big test for those players. And as we were saying, they've got those young players in, and they're not going to probably have come up against the quality of Stephen Payne before, are they?
Absolutely. So really good test for them. And they know if they can get a result there, it brings them back into the equation for the league after that draw that Faversham had today. So, it's settling down a little bit, the league. So everybody expects Faversham to go on and win it, but I'm still excited about this division, John. I think there's going to be plenty of twists and turns. It's amazing that some of these teams, like that, 16 league games, and some of our teams in the Isthmian South, I know Craig with their cut run, but Hyde have only played 8 league games. Crazy, isn't it? I don't know. Some teams play a lot of games and some people not so. So, and I have to say, that was brilliantly worked, John, with no script and no lap computer there getting all that out. So that's why they pay you the big bucks.
Well, I have now got the script back in front of me. Thank you.
Word saved it, did it?
Word is the man. So I've got the script back in front of me. But I do have some things we need to talk about in a second, but we'll worry about that. There was a pretty full programme in the first division of the Scaffold 2 on Saturday, with notable wins for Canterbury and Larkford and New Hythe, who had a hat-trick from Matt Day in their 4-0 victory at Rochester. Well, just another week in that division. There was one game in 6-3 and another one was 5-2. Check out all those results and fixtures in that division on the Scaffold website. I was going to say that just seems with the National League, but I do just have to do a little bit of tidying up first, because I did have written down the fixtures for Tuesday in the National League South. Slightly tucked away after a full round of FA Trophy, but Dartford at home to Braintree, Dover at home to Eastbourne. Tunbridge Angels take on Avely, who've had a really good start to the season, and Welling host Hampton Richmond. Hampton Richmond seem to be playing everyone at the moment, Matt. I don't know.
And beating everybody as well. Great season, though, haven't they?
Well, absolutely, yeah. Just can't get rid of them. They're like a bad smell. That just leaves us with the National League. FC United have dropped into the bottom four despite a 2-2 draw at Hartlepool. Well, also needed all square on Saturday for Bromley against Boreham Wood. Bromley at home to Fylde on Saturday and then Aldershot on Tuesday. Ebbsfleet at home to Oxford City and Maidenhead United on Saturday and Tuesday respectively. And I'm going to suggest, Matt, if they don't win either of those games, there'll be some rather large alarm bells ringing in the Stonebridge Road area.
Yeah, I would have thought that, I think we'll look at the fixture that Ebbsfleet knew had they got sides around them. Brought I've lost my track of thought. My wife's just walked in after a night out now. A lot of teams around and they've got left to play. I think the fixtures are quite work in their favour for teams around them. You would have thought they should have enough to beat Oxford City. But again, I'm going to say that Ebbsfleet are going to pick up at least four points from these two games, and that will dampen any relegation worries, so they'll be out of the bottom four.
Yeah, I think the Oxford game on Saturday is a big opportunity, because Oxford have, much like Ebbsfleet, struggled with the step up from the National League South last season, and I just think, you know, if you get people in at Stonebridge Road, and they'll just get behind them and hopefully they can get the result. And then if they win that one, that sets them up beautifully for a Maidenhead side who've also found it tough going so far this season, even though, you know, they've got a manager who's been there and done that in that division.
I see they Hayden Hollis went to Dorking, so they are moving players on and moving players in and around. So, again, maybe Dennis Catree, quite rightly so, was pretty loyal to the side that got promoted, but he's decided to move players on and freshen up a little bit. Maybe that's what they needed, because I didn't think after 19 games we'd be saying that Ebbsfleet were in the relegation zone.
Absolutely. And isn't it sweet how even after all these years, when Mrs. Gerrard walks into the house, Matt gets lost for words. That's true love, mate.
Yeah, that is true. So, I did get... She is quite late, though, because it is quite late. So she said you'd be home at 9. So I'll have to speak to her as it's 11:15 now.
When we say speak to her, that's not like a reprimand, is it?
No. I hope she's had a good evening.
That's okay, fine. Yeah. I was just, you know... Anything else going on in Joe World? I just saw, actually, after the Cray Valley against Charlton game, a trailer for a drama. Sort of looked like it might be a bit of a comedy drama. Is it called The Boat or something like that? That?
Yeah, with the guy, the lady who did that comedy that was set in Hive. You ever see that?
Yeah.
That was a good programme.
Yeah, and he's good in loads. And your man from Baptiste is in it as well. So, yeah. You know, it could be quite good. So that starts on Sunday night, I believe.
We need to find some new programmes, to be honest, because we're not watching anything at the moment. So, yes, I just sort of, you know, normally this time of the year, you do find new programmes to watch, but we just haven't found anything that's worth our time and effort. So, yeah, we need to get onto something before Christmas. We are waiting for Frasier, you see, because once it does its 10 episodes on Paramount, we're going to pay pay for it free for a week and actually binge watch it, then stop Paramount. So,
what a life!
That's what we're playing. That's our how rock and roll we are. We're trying to save $6.99 or whatever it is.
Oh yeah, I mean, it's funny. I've still got Apple TV, just sort of like Ted Lasso, but there are other things on there. I'm going to get into the morning show next. I think that's next on my list.
Yeah. But Slow Horses is back on that. That's a good one. And The Crown is back next week as well. It might be tomorrow, The Crown.
Oh.
If you've watched any of that, so I will be watching that.
Do you know? I think that The Crown was one of my lockdown things. So I watched Up to Date in lockdown, and then I haven't watched the last series that was out, which was the fifth series, I think. And I should watch that one because there's bits of it that are filmed in Eastbourne. And then after that, obviously, I've got the new series to watch. So I do need to watch them at some point. And so I think the morning show is on our radar for next. And just a few other bits and pieces.
And Apple, we watched the one with Taggart Egerton when he's in prison. That's worth watching. I can't remember what it's called now, but that's worth watching as well. Also, did you see Bromley? Bromley doing well in the season. Are looking for a new member of their backroom staff.
The one with based on their Football Manager performance.
Yeah, yes. Sure, interesting move. You should be a flying job. You did quite well in Football Manager on one save, didn't you?
I have done in the past, yeah. I have got the new one. I've only had a chance to play it for about an hour or so, but I made my own challenge on Football Manager because, you know, when you don't support a team, it's quite difficult to pick what team to manage when you first start. I've considered doing Dover Athletic, but, you know, once you get sacked from there, I don't think there's anywhere to turn. There's a challenge called the Fergie Challenge, which I'm a big fan of, which is when you forward the game into the 6th of November and take over the team next month with the Premier League, which is where Manchester United were when he took over old First Division, and then try and make a dynasty there. So I made up my own similar thing called the April Fools Challenge, which you sim the game until April the 1st. Then you take over a team in the League Two relegation zone and see if you can keep them in the Football League. So you're a fool for trying to do it, basically. So I did that on my first save, and I got the plum job at Grimsby Town. Began the 23rd in League Two. Lost my first game at home to Bradford quite heavily. And then won three of the next four and stayed up. And I've managed to get through to the start of the next season. Done a little bit of wheeling and dealing. Won the first game of the season 4-1. So things are looking up.
Is it much different, the new one? Sexier graphics or anything like that?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I haven't had the game proper since 2021 edition. Right. So I've not had it for 3 years. So actually, I'm quite enjoying playing it and finding out the nuances of the new game and the way that it works. Because it is, you know, it does change all the time and everything does get harder and harder. So, yeah, but so far, I'm quite enjoying it. As I said, I don't get much time to play it because, you know, I am a fully grown adult with a job. But
back to Bromley, though, I think it's going to be a TV documentary. Somebody who's good on that game is going to get a job at Bromley. Again, I don't know if this is Bromley's idea or Football Manager's idea, but cracking idea, great publicity for Bromley, who are a club who definitely think outside the box, don't they, on these sort of things?
Yeah, but a brilliant piece of opportunism. I reckon, yeah you know, it is going to all come to, is all going to come to good. So we shall...
Do you know what my tactic will be, wouldn't it?
Basically,
get long ball up to Michael Cheek, feed off him, and that's it. I'm going to give you the job now.
Well, maybe you should get Football Manager, get yourself half decent at it. I mean, if you could do something with Dover, just imagine the way that you could go.
Right, exactly.
And you could the world could be your oyster, my friend.
Exactly, that could be the right.
Yeah, but we better wrap this up, I suppose.
Well, yes, just, it's quite late now, yeah.
I just have a very quick public service announcement, which I'd just like to make. To my future brother-in-law, David, I understand your pain. We've both been in exactly the same situation this week, and let's hope the lesson has been learnt about out-of-date stamps. Anyway, thank you, everybody, for listening to this week's show. Thank you to all three of our guests for their time, Mark and Adam, and, of course, George, after the game on Tuesday night. Thank you all for listening. It's been an absolute ride for Cray Valley, and we're so sad that it's over. But you know, well done to everyone there, and well done to all of our clubs, because a lot of them are having a very, very good season. We're really, really enjoying it, and yeah, it's been great so far. You can find us on Twitter at Kent NL Podcast, or X, whatever it's called these days. I'm at John Phipps 81. Matt is at Matthew_Gerard. You can find us on Facebook as well. Search for Kent Only Podcast, and also Kent Only Football Chat, where you can get involved in the chat group. We're also on Threads and Instagram at Kent Non-League Podcast. Yes, that's what we are. I'm sure we're Kent Non-League Podcast. I don't really go on them. I'm really sorry, everyone. But anyway, thank you, everybody, for listening. And we'll speak to you all next week on the Kent Non-League Podcast.
I have to say, I'll be linking other managers to the folks in the job as well, not just saying go and get Steve Watt. There are other good managers. You might want to go get Steve Watt, but it was just one I thought maybe in the hat. And that means he might not get it, but he might get it. But there you go.
I'll and if you want to play agricultural football, hire Gerard.
Exactly. That's it. Yes. You don't want that, folks, then, though. There you go. Thank you very much.